Thank you, Pastor Rob. I won't be giving gifts out this morning. Apologies to Laurie in advance. Yes, it was. Awesome. Hey, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7 this morning. I'm excited for some baptisms later today. Stick around towards the end of the service as we come together for some baptisms. It's going to be exciting. But this morning, we're going to talk about the glory of Christmas, the first weekend of December. I'm excited to share around this Christmas message. And in preparing and studying the scriptures, there's just been this fresh flow of love and excitement for Jesus. And anyone here love celebrating the Savior Jesus on a Christmas morning? It's all about Jesus. I'm excited for this one. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 7. And really the crux of this message is going to be looking through the nativity story as to how people responded to God with us. How people responded to the presence of God in the midst of them. And then we're going to reflect back on this for ourselves. How should we respond to God with us? So let's pray this morning, and then we'll open the scriptures. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we open the word of God this morning, that you, the author, would lead us into deeper revelation and deeper love for Jesus. Lord, I pray that Christmas would not just be another time of the year, but it would be a time of growing in our awareness and knowledge of the awesomeness of Christ. I pray, fill every heart, fill every mind with your thoughts and your plans and purposes for us. We ask you to speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Do you know where I'm going this morning? Anyone know this scripture? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I'm reading from the ESV translation. It is on the screens. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself," this is a prophecy, before Jesus was ever on the earth in physical form, this prophecy is released from the mouth of Isaiah. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. What is this promise? It is that one day God will become man and walk among us. Humanity up to this point throughout history had been looking for a sign. They had been looking for a sign that Isaiah talks about here. Is God real? Who is he? What is he like? How powerful is he truly? Is he really in control? Will he destroy our enemies or will he destroy us? God, give us a sign. And that sign takes place as the Holy Spirit of God miraculously fills the womb of Mary for her to conceive a baby known to humanity as the Son of God. God became man. And he did not come as a 33-year-old man. He came as a child. This is so important for us to understand. He came as a child, meaning he experienced our humanity to the fullest. He knows every struggle. He's experienced every temptation. He's tasted pain and suffering to the worst extent of it. From physical pain, it was torture and being nailed to a cross. And the heartache he experienced when people loved, the people that he loved, turned their back on him. And he still forgave them. He knows what it's like to feel lonely. He knows what it's like to be hungry. Isn't that wild that the bread of life knows what it's like to be hungry? This is our God and Savior. He knows what it's like. He came as a child. He experienced humanity to its fullest. Why did he let that happen? Why did he do it this way? So that you and I would know that he can empathize with you and walk with you through every season of life, every challenge, every struggle. He can walk with you. He is fully identified with us through him becoming a man. He is someone who truly understands. This is God's plan from the beginning of the world. God with us, God becoming man. You know, ever since I was a child, I had this desire to know a God who I could walk with, who I could talk with, who would lead me and guide me through life, who I could hear his voice. I longed to know a God that would speak to me and teach me things and reveal mysteries to me and take me on missions and help me accomplish missions and reveal to me little secrets and find treasures. And I longed to know a God like this. And here he is. This is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Not only can I talk to him, but now I can touch him, I can hug him, I can fully embrace him. He is God become man. Open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 1. If you have a Bible with you today, Colossians chapter 1. I've been loving reading Colossians lately. It speaks so much of the divinity of Christ, meaning how divine and holy and wonderful Jesus really is. It speaks of the awesomeness of our Savior. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, it says this: he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Somebody praise God for that this morning. He has delivered me from the domain of darkness, from the oppression of darkness, and brought me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's amazing. Check this, this is what it says. He is Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is, Jesus is, before all things, and in him all things hold together. The earth could not exist without Jesus. A misconception common amongst people who don't read the scriptures is that Jesus was born or came into the earth for the first time ever, that he was created. Jesus was not created. He was fully God in the beginning. All things were created through him. John chapter 1 says that in the beginning was the Word of God. And it says now the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. He is the God-man revealed here in the scriptures. He is the image of the invisible God. How many of us here today believe that you are created in the image of God? It's about maybe 20% of the church. It's a good start. Hopefully by the end of today, we can get to 30%. What is the image of God? It doesn't mean that we were created with a nose to smell like him or ears to hear like him. It doesn't necessarily mean that you would have a brown beard when you get to heaven created in the image of God. That's not what the image is here, thank the Lord. I would not like to see Pastor Denise with a beard. That would be something out of a nightmare. Praise God, he made you beautiful and wonderful, Pastor Denise. And if any ladies do have a beard, we bless you, we love you. But the image of God is not about appearance. It is about nature, character, and heart. And the image of God revealed in the scriptures, what is this image? The image of God is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, He is, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. There is no mistaking, Jesus Christ is the exact perfect image of God revealed on the earth for us to see. What is the image of God? Jesus. So what's God's plan for your life? To look like Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example and the perfect image of the Father. Jesus is the perfect example of the human experience that God is inviting us into, to walk in the kingdom, power, love, and presence of God all the days of our abundant life. The life of Jesus reveals the truth about God and the truth about us. Throughout all of history, there was this mystery that the Jews and many other cultures and nations and religions were searching for. Who are we and who is God? And the mystery has been revealed. All the truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Look no further. If you're looking for your identity, look no further. If you're looking for God's plan for your life, look no further. It's to transform you into the character, nature, and love of Jesus Christ. God desires to transform our hearts and minds and mature our spirits into the image of Christ, that we would walk the earth as the body of Christ. Let's look forward into Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, just down to verse 18. It says this, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in Him everything might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Not 20%, not 30%, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, in rebellion towards God, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death. He's restored us in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. And if you jump down to verse 26, it closes with, well, I'm going to close with this passage in Colossians, in verse 26 to 27. The mystery, oh, this is one of my favorite scriptures. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope for humanity? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope for your kids? Christ in you, the hope of glory. When the nations seem like they're in chaos, what is the hope for the nations? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery humanity has been searching for has been revealed. God in you. And Paul writes here in Colossians, revealed Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus revealed His desire to fill humanity by becoming human Himself. He is the God who desires to fill all things with His presence. This is what we call the incarnation of Christ. As we talk about the birth of Jesus, it's the incarnation of Christ, meaning God become man. It's essential to Christian doctrine and theology. If you don't grasp this, then you lack an understanding of who your God is that we worship. Jesus is now, through the birth, fully God and fully man. Jesus is fully God, but when he makes himself man, he fully humbles himself to embrace the human experience, not to live as a God on the earth, but to live as a man. And that's important. It shows the humility of God. The whole Christmas story shows the humility of God, that he would choose to walk the earth not as a God, but as a man. And it's important to know that, because everything we see Jesus do, he did as a man walking in the presence of God, as a human walking in the presence of God. You are invited to be a human walking in relationship in the presence of God. That means, this is good news for somebody, that means every miracle Jesus performed, he performed as a human walking in the presence of God. Some people have said to me, you know what, I don't believe that God can do a miracle, I don't believe that I can do miracles or I can pray for someone to be healed because that was Jesus, I'm not God. Well, you don't need to be, but if you believe the scriptures and you know that Christ in you, the hope of glory, wants to come out of you to touch others, then any miracle you see through the scriptures, you have access to, because Jesus said, you will do greater works than these. He said, anything is possible for those who believe. It's so essential we understand the incarnation of Christ, because it gives you an open door of access to walk with God in his presence like Jesus did. If you believe, you ought to walk as he walked, the scripture says. God hit the powers of darkness with a lethal blow the day that God became man, known to us as the Son of God, or God the Son. In Hebrew, his name was Yeshua, which translates for us in English to Jesus, or in some other languages, Jesus, or Isa, or Yesu. Yeshua in Hebrew means to rescue, to save, to deliver. It means Savior, or Yahweh the Lord saves. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what translation of the name you use. Some people get caught up on this and they say, well, I don't pray to Jesus, I pray to Yeshua. It doesn't matter what translation of the name you use, as long as you use it in faith that he is the risen King. And when you use it with faith, knowing that he is the risen King, you can see miracle working power come forth out of your mouth and transform the world around you. Some people say, no, you must only call him Yeshua. That's his proper name. Well, in English, we translate it to Jesus. I have seen and heard of many people who have received an illness but have been healed in the name of Jesus. All across the world, we have heard stories of many people, even today, that have been touched by the miracle working power of the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter. Jesus, Isa, Yesu, Jesus, Yeshua. His name is power. It's the faith you atone to that name. He is the miracle working God. Woo, I'm getting excited this morning. Do my dance. Praise the Lord. I'm about to jump in that thing in a second. Thank you, Jesus. All right, open your Bibles with me quickly to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Matthew chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. I want to look at how some people responded to Emmanuel, God with us, through the nativity story and the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, which means before they slept together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Sheesh. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not, meaning did not sleep with her until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. How did Mary and Joseph respond to God with us? I want to submit to you, they sacrificed their reputation in order to carry the presence of God. What does that look like? For Joseph to be married to a woman who's now already pregnant that he has not been with would be shameful amongst the community, to his manhood, to her womanhood, to their marriage. It would be one of the greatest embarrassments. If there was news channels, it'd be plastered all over the news. That's how serious it was to the Jewish people. And here we see Joseph biting the bullet and trusting in the Lord God, sacrificing their reputation, both Mary and Joseph, sacrificing their reputation to carry the presence of God. Come on, somebody. Joseph, as a man, had to humble himself before God at the risk of being humiliated by his community for having a pregnant wife before they were married. Mary had to humble herself before God and trust that he would give her strength and wisdom to carry the Savior of the world. And now, Jesus, obviously, he died on the cross and he ascended into heaven, and it says that he has sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. Now God is with us by his Spirit. His Spirit is the literal and tangible presence of God with us. So how will you respond? Let's look at this. How can we respond to God with us? Well, I believe we ought to be like Mary and learn how to carry Jesus. We need to learn and be taught by the Spirit of God how to carry Christ in you, the hope of glory. In order to carry the presence of God as a family, as an individual, as a church, we must learn to humble ourselves. That we can't create the Savior on our own, that we can't produce miracle-working power on our own. It's by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that you get to carry Jesus. We must humble ourselves. It's got to be less of me, God, and more of you. Less of my pride, more of your humility. Less of my desires and more of your desires. Less of my dreams and more of your dreams. Less of my flesh and more of your Spirit. If you want to carry the tangible presence of God, God wants that for you, but we must learn how to empty ourselves in order to be filled with him. You cannot be full of God when you're full of yourself. You cannot be full of God when you're full of the things of this world. We need to empty ourselves in order to carry him. There is a much greater purpose in your life than simply to live for the things of this world, simply to chase the dollar, simply to chase business or to build something great. There is more that God has in store for your life, and the greatest of these is to carry the presence of God. God, since the beginning of the universe, wants to fill his people. He doesn't want to dwell in a steeple or a temple made by hands of man. He wants to dwell in the hearts of his children.
Jesus became a child so that you could become children of God. This is his heart for humanity. Is this good news? Man, I'm blown away by this as I'm reading the scriptures. I'm getting excited because I so desire for God's presence to saturate every part of my life. And as I read the scriptures, I realize it's more his desire than it is mine. Wow. Wow. We need to carry Jesus, learn how to carry Jesus like Mary. Over this month of December, who will you carry Jesus to? Who will you deliver Jesus to? If you walk with Christ in you, the hope of glory, are you going to let him be the hope of your heart but no one else's, or are you actually going to let him shine? It's not this little light of mine that I hide in the corner of my house or maybe church on a Sundays. It's the light of the world. He wants to shine through you. How will we carry Jesus? How did Mary and Joseph respond? They responded with a heart that was willing to sacrifice their reputation on the altar of carrying his presence. Sometimes, like Mary and Joseph, you'll have to be willing to sacrifice looking silly, sacrifice maybe looking foolish to others in order to build your reputation with God. All right, let's look at one more and then I'll close this and maybe I'll share the second part with you another time. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at how the shepherds and the angels responded to God with us. Luke chapter 2. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. It says this, And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, big, small, rich, poor, for all people." That's good news. Sinners and saints, it's for all people. This is the good news. The angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts and angelic beings praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they have heard and seen as it had been told to them. So how do the shepherds and the angels respond to God with us? Well, heaven rejoiced. They praised the Lord with songs and declarations of God's goodness in worship to him. And did you realize something in this? Something I find interesting is that all of heaven and even the shepherds rejoiced and praised God for this child that is born before the child performed any miracle. Wow. Before the child did anything great, they worshiped and praised him. Why? Why? Why are the angels worshiping and praising a child that is born? Well, I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that God is worthy of our worship, not just because of what he's done, but who he is. It's his character and his nature. You know, there have been times I have prayed prayers that have not been answered, but God is still worthy of my worship. Because He, even though I didn't get the red bicycle I prayed for when I was 13 years old, He still is worthy of my worship. He is still seated on the throne. He still holds all things together by His powerful word. The very breath I have in my lungs is by the grace of God. He still spilt His blood for me on the cross. But even before we get to there, He shows His humility to humanity by coming lowly as a child. He is worthy of our worship, not just because of what He's done, but of who He is. Maybe you think God hasn't done anything for you. Well, you're wrong, but He is still worthy. It's who He is. It's His character and His nature. It's His love and His goodness, His glory that makes Him worthy. And He has done great things. Amen. So how can we respond in closing? Maybe worship team, you could come and join me and help me. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sure. Are we going to end in a song? I thought maybe then. Sure. So how can we respond to God with us with inspiration from the shepherds and the angels? I want to submit to you this. The most heavenly experience you can have on earth is to worship Jesus in His presence. It's a taste of heaven on earth. So many people are longing to get to heaven, desperate to one day get to heaven, but they can't even endure 30 minutes of worship at church. I don't know if you heard, but there is angels circling around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy moly is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy." They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain." They're going, "Holy, holy." The most heavenly experience you can have here on earth, you can taste it now. It's to come into the presence of God by faith and to worship Jesus here in His presence. Woo! How will we respond to God with us? Will we respond with hands in our pockets and a heart that's a little bit distracted and bored and tired? Or will we respond recognizing and believing that the King of Kings is making Himself known to us? Can I tell you, friends, His presence is the prize of heaven. It's not the golden footpaths and the pearly gates or the precious and shiny jewels that the angels are amazed by in heaven. It's not those things that the angels are in awe and wonder at, although they might look beautiful and shiny. It's the glory of Jesus that they say holy to. He is, the scripture says, He is the darling of heaven, and His presence is the prize that we will run to. I'm running straight past the pearly gates, straight over the golden paths, because I get to embrace a God-man named Jesus. I get to feel His hug. I get to see the fire in His eyes that burns with love for us. We get to run to Jesus. He is the prize. He is the purpose. He is the pursuit of all creation. It's found in Jesus. And we get to experience a taste of heaven on earth when we worship Him and His presence comes. This is what we long for. And maybe we just don't realize it, but this Christmas, I pray you would see the glory in the story. The glory is Christ. It's all in Him. He is the prize. He is the purpose of all creation. It's all found in Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other. You can come and lay your treasures down at the feet of Jesus because He is the greatest treasure of all. And we get the privilege to meet with Him even here today in the presence of God. This morning, I'd like to pray in closing. I want to invite anyone who's preparing to get baptized today or preparing to be in the baptism tank with us. you're welcome to just quickly pop out and get changed and ready for baptism, and then Pastor Rob will call you forward shortly. But right now, across this room, can we stand together in the presence of the Lord? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else who thinks he's wonderful? Is there anyone else who sees his humility in this story? Is there anyone else who sees the character and nature of the King of the universe who has humbled himself to reach us? Wow, so worthy of worship. So worthy of worship. Would you close your eyes with me across the room today? Hey, if you're here today and you haven't experienced the love of God or relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're looking for salvation, you're looking for hope, maybe you've known Jesus before, but you've walked away from him and you are hungry and desperate for the Savior of the world, the hope of glory, to fill your heart again. If you need to know Jesus this way, then with every eye closed this morning, would you just pop up your hand and say, yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, that's me. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyone else? For the Lord to say, Jesus, I need you. Fill my heart again. Fill my life with your presence. Come on, let's pray this morning. Would you say this after me? Say, Jesus, I believe, as the scripture says, that in you is the fullness of God, that you are the perfect image, the mystery revealed. Thank you for coming into the earth for me. I believe, Jesus, that you are my Savior and my King. Fill my life with your presence. I repent of my sin and I look to you as the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we do something this morning? Can we all just lift our hands? And if you feel comfortable, you could close your eyes. We're gonna sing in just a moment. But I just wanna ask the Lord and pray this prayer or this prophecy from Isaiah. And you can pray with me in your own way as I speak. Feel free, speak over me, I don't care, go for it. But Jesus, we thank you for the reality of the incarnation of Christ. And God, we pray this morning, would you be present with us? Lord, we believe that you ascended into heaven and sent your Holy Spirit down for us. I ask, Holy Spirit, fill our homes, Lord. Fill our homes with the miracle working, tangible presence of a loving God. Fill our families, fill our kids' bedrooms, fill our workplaces, our businesses. God, we long for you to be with us in every area of our life. Fill this place with your presence. Come on, somebody say that. Lord, fill my life with your presence. Fill my life with your presence. And teach me how to respond to your glory. In Jesus' name. Can we sing together this morning, church? Let's worship him.